Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Let's do prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning we ask for a special blessing on Ukraine, and that the people there may just continue to grow in knowledge of you, and that they may continue to seek you. Father, we ask for peace over there as well. Father, we also want to lift up Haiti and the situation that's going on there. Father, we ask that your word just be used to calm people down, and that people may start seeing who you are. Protect our missionaries and protect our brothers and sisters in Christ over there. And Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with that being said, come on up, Jamie. Oh, yeah, you get a mic too.
Sixth through 12th grade, would you come up here with me? I want to talk to you about something that's been going on with me. Come on up here, sixth through 12th graders. Just sit down wherever. Come on, have a seat on the floor. Yeah. Here, sit in front of me so I can talk to you guys. Come on over. All right. Closer. Here, Bryson, will you hold this? Not breakable. Don't open it yet, okay? So I had this idea a while ago, and I kind of just like pushed it to the side. And then I had an idea again. It was the same idea. I was like, wonder why I'm having this idea. So I kind of sort of ran up by Pastor Tim, and he didn't say, that's crazy. He actually said, and kind of think about the same thing. We were very similar in our ideas. I'm still thinking it's crazy, but whatever. So finally I thought, okay, I should probably throw this out to my husband, thinking he's going to tell me it's crazy. He didn't say it was crazy. So I started praying about it, and then talked to him again, and we got more serious about it, and Pastor Tim actually took my idea to the council, and the council didn't even say it was crazy. They actually said, okay. So, Bryson, would you open that gift up? I want you to unfold that and read it. What does that say?
Thrive Student Ministries.
The council actually gave us permission to revive Thrive. So beginning in October, you guys will be having youth group again. And I hope that we get to see each and every one of you there. I've got a schedule ready to go. I'll talk to you after church. And the coolest part? You and I get to be twins.
That is something else for you guys to add to your prayers, is for our student ministry as that prepares to come back into action this next month. I'm excited for what's happening. I am excited for Jamie and for Scott for stepping up into this role and doing something wonderful for our community, giving us a place for our kids to come and learn more about Jesus. I shouldn't say kids, these are our young adults. So,
one voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life. One sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire. One Lord, one King. There is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose. True God. one and only Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son.
Mount of thy redeeming love. Galatians 6, 7, and 9 reads, "Don't be fooled. You can't outsmart God. A man gathers a crop from what he plants. Let us not become tired of doing good. At the right time, we will gather a crop if we don't give up." The Bible says that a man gathers a crop from what he plants. Do you know what these are? Can you tell what those are? Seeds. That's right, they're seeds. Do you know what they are? What do they look like?
Sunflower seed.
That's a good guess. One's a black-eyed pea and one is okra. How about these? What's this?
Pumpkin seed.
That's close. Watermelon and cantaloupe. Next. Can you tell what that is?
Pumpkin seed.
Mm-mm. Apple and pear. And last but not least, you might know what this is.
Plum.
Oak tree. It's acorn. And that's a cedar tree. So, if I want to plant an acorn, will I get a cedar tree? No. What do I have to plant if I want an oak tree? I have to plant a acorn. If I want black-eyed peas, do I plant okra? No. What do I have to plant to get okra? I have to plant okra seeds. And what about an apple tree? Do I plant? You're silly. I kind of like that. Okay. So if we want to get good things, like watermelon, we have to plant watermelon. It's that way in life, too. If we want to get good things like kindness when we're having a bad day, or trust if you need a friend to talk to, we have to give those good things. If you act ugly by not playing fairly on the playground, it's likely your classmates won't play fairly with you. If someone wants to borrow a pencil from you, but you won't share, it's likely that when you lose your pencil, no one will share with you. What will happen if you share your toys with others? Someone will likely share their toys with you. What if you show generosity by sharing some cookies? Yes? That's right. Someone will share with you. It reminds me of another verse. It's the golden rule. Anybody know it?
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
That's right. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's in Luke 6:31. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the Bible, which teaches us how to treat others. Help us to remember that if we want good things, we have to give good things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you so much for that, Ann. Good morning, church. Man, I'm excited to be back. For some of you who don't know, I had another flying trip. I had friends get married this weekend back in Indiana. So I drove out there late Thursday night and drove back last night about 11:30 at night, pulled into the house. It was great. So I'm running on caffeine this morning. Anyways, and it's been a fun week coming back with the Awanas and the kids and all of that stuff on Wednesday night and all the volunteers. Guys, this can't happen without you guys. This isn't something I could do on my own. But I am looking forward to what's coming in this next week as we move forward. I did get a letter from a person in Ukraine that was forwarded to me. And I know that we've spent some time helping some missionaries over there and meeting with them. And they just felt that they wanted to share what the funds and stuff that we have provided as a church have gone to and hear from someone who is directly affected by these funds and what it's done for them, okay? So good morning. Our families are internally displaced people from Kharkiv City. We have two children, Anne, who is also 11, and Nika, who is 2. Our house in, I cannot say that word, district got damaged from the shelling. The first 2 weeks of the war, we spent in the basement without going outside because of the continuous shelling, aerial bombardment, and breakthrough of the hostile troops into our city. It was impossible to leave the city. Besides adults, there were 20 children in the basement, the youngest of which was 3 months old. Can you imagine a three-month-old being down there with you? Sometimes it seemed to us that we wouldn't survive it. Praise God, we managed to escape from that nightmare and come to Poltava. That's what it says. There was despair, depression, sleep disorder, permanent fear of loud sounds, and the lack of understanding on how to keep on living. Then we accidentally came to the Salvation Church meeting, where besides the humanitarian aid, we got a chance to have fellowship, peace of mind, and more importantly, information about who God is. The children's camp at the church helped our daughter to experience a real holiday and joy, as well as to get some spiritual education and learn decent moral values that were sincerely taught to them by youth and adults who were called to work with children. After the lessons, Anne asked us questions about God, and she started to react to the injustice or the bad things by saying, "That's not right, that's sin." I am very grateful to everyone in the Salvation Church who's been helping internally displaced people and has been telling kids and us adults about our Heavenly Father who gives us hope, whom we want to get to know more. These are people who are being taught about Jesus even in the middle of the war, and they are thankful, and the money and stuff that we're raising is going over to help with that, not just with the humanitarian aid, giving them a safe shelter, but it's also providing food and having them learn about who Christ is. So thank you, church, for walking alongside and helping provide this to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to get together to praise and to worship you. Father, we pray that this morning we may just seek your face, that we may learn more about you, that we may grow in you. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Father, we also pray that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not mine. And if I say anything not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Amen. Well, last week we looked at the question of why. Why would God allow bad things to happen? Why is it that sometimes other people's sin affect our lives? But we also looked at how God can use those bad things for his good. Not that everything is good, but no matter what the situation, we can trust that God has a plan and that he can utilize it for his good if we allow him. This week, we're going to be taking a little bit different look at something, a little different. We're going to be looking at how God can shape us in our downtime. We're going to be looking at why God holds us back from moving forward at times. When we've got a strong desire or a will to do something, but sometimes it feels like God is slamming the brakes on us and holding us at that position for a moment in time. Have you ever heard the term in God's perfect timing? Anybody else ever heard that? Has that term ever driven you nuts when you've heard that? I will acknowledge it's one of those things that it can be annoying to hear, like in God's perfect timing. We are a one-it-now society. I mean, how did that J.G. Wentworth commercial go? It's my money and I want it now. You know, we heard it over and over. Yet if you look at the fine print of that ad, there's a high price to be paid to collect now instead of waiting it out. It's the same thing for those who win the lottery. You've got an option to take a lump sum up front, or you can take it over multiple years. There's a high percentage that you do not receive if you take the lump sum. It costs something to want it now. This is no different than our daily lives. We have an idea or we have a desire that we want to complete, or you have this calling that God has placed on your heart that you know you've been called to, yet it seems like nothing is coming together, that God is taking forever. And no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't seem to work. You find yourself asking, is this what God really wants from me? I went to school, I worked hard, and still nothing. You look at all the money and stuff that you've invested in business, all the money and time and energy you've put into building something up, but you seem stuck, like you can't get over that next hurdle in life. You know, Friday's rolling around and you're not even sure if you have enough money in the account to make payroll. Maybe you felt called to start a men's ministry or a women's ministry and no one seems to be showing up. Whatever the calling is, you often find yourself after a while of asking, is this really what God wants for me in life? For some of you, you grew up with a dysfunctional family, and there seems to be this history of dysfunction. You told yourself that you're going to be a cycle breaker, and you told yourself that you're going to be that godly husband or that godly wife that your family traditionally has never seen. That you would have a picture-perfect marriage with model children, yet that's showing to be a lot harder than what you ever expected it to be. The desire is there, but the fruit is not showing yet, at least not in the way that you expected it. You begin to question, is this what God meant? Did we really understand the assignment that God was giving us? You know, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, it reminds us there's an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. Throughout my life, I've learned timing is important. Often we can get ahead of ourselves and God. When we do this, it often causes disaster to strike. When the disaster strikes, we find ourselves asking the question, why? Like we were asking last week. We were asking the question, why? And the process of going through that wait becomes a challenge to us all. It can become a very painful time, a time that God often uses to shape us, to grow us, and more importantly, mold us into someone he can use for his glory. Here's a couple questions we often ask ourselves. Why does God ask us to wait when we believe the answer should be now? Why does his schedule never seem to really line up with our own? I mean, we know how it should work, right? Why is he making me wait? I got the whole game plan written out in front of me. We know the perfect timing. That's what we tell ourselves. How do we manage our time in the meantime? When God is taking his time to fulfill that thing in your life that you know he's called you to, what do you do during that downtime? You know, just a couple weeks ago, if you recall, I spoke about Abraham. And remember that God promised to make him a great nation out of his offsprings and give him the promised land. And he talked about how he got ahead of God. And because he went ahead of God, it affected many people in his life. If you recall, God promised him a son even at his old age. So what did he do instead of waiting for God to fulfill that promise? He took it upon himself and had a child with another woman that was not his wife. And because of that, many people were hurt in the process. He got ahead of God's plan. He didn't want to wait anymore. But we have to always remember God's timing is perfect. And it's everything. The last week we spoke about his descendant Joseph, who found himself thrown into slavery in several bad situations, only to see God use that situation for his glory. We see God using what his brothers intended for evil, and God used it for good. He used it to bring glory and to take care of his family. We learned that no matter what we face in life, God is with us. We are never alone, even when we don't understand why or how God is working. This week, we're going to look at another one of Abraham and Joseph's offsprings. We're going to be looking at Moses. And now, I know I've spoken about Moses a couple times since I've been here over the last year. Next month is 1 year since I've been here. But today, we're going to be looking at another aspect of his life that we haven't really spoken about in the past. See, when Joseph came to power, God opened the door for his family to move to Egypt and for them to live a great life there. But by the time we get to Moses, a lot of time had passed, and we see that a new Pharaoh had arose to power who had never heard of Joseph and his success and everything that Joseph did for the Egyptians. He didn't recall all that good stuff, so he started to oppress the Israelites. And he was so evil, in fact, that he forced the Israelites to throw out their newborn baby males. And he forced them to throw them out so they would die. One way to look at this would be called a live birth abortion. In Acts 7, verse 20, it tells us, "Then came along Moses, and at this time Moses was born. He was beautiful in God's sight, and he was cared for in his father's home for 3 months." His family hid Moses and cared for him. When they couldn't hide him any longer, his mother took a basket and coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the baby in the basket and put him along the reeds of the bank of the Nile River. When Pharaoh's daughter went down to the river to bathe, she saw the basket, opened it up, and found little Moses crying. She was so moved by what she saw that she took the baby and raised him as her own. Now, this is a plot twist. Always loved this plot twist. Pharaoh wanted all the Israelite baby boys killed. Now there was one living in his house. God's got a good sense of humor. And not only did he grow up in his house, he grew up in the halls of power, giving the best education of his time, given the best of everything as he came up, being developed. His opportunities were basically unlimited. And he rose up to them, and he developed talents and skills and aptitudes, and God just blessed him through that process. Life for Moses was good. He was a prince. And we even know that Moses knew that he was adopted. We know that he knew that he was an Israelite. In Acts 7, it actually gives us, oftentimes when we read the story of Moses, we kind of stick to Exodus. But in Acts chapter 7, we actually find a little bit more information about what Moses was going through. So what we're going to do this morning is in Acts 7, verse 23, it tells us from when he was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. And then in verse 24, it even says, when he saw one of them being mistreated, he came to his rescue and avenged the oppressed man by striking down the Egyptian. See, in Moses' eyes, he was fulfilling his calling. He was doing what God had called him to do. He was there to save the people. God had protected him as a child, gave him all this opportunity in the world to grow and to have a good life, to have a great education, so that he can lead the people of Egypt and save them from everything they've been dealing with as slaves. He even tells us in verse 25 that he assumed his people would understand that God would give them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. See, he assumed. Moses knew he was the right man for the job. He knew God had put that desire inside of him to free the people of Israel. And he just assumed that everyone else would know and go along with it. But they did not. In verse 26 and 27, it tells 26 through 28, it actually says, "The next day he showed up whilst they were fighting, and he tried to reconcile them peacefully, saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why are you mistreating each other?' But then the one who was mistreating his neighbor pushed Moses aside, saying, 'Who appointed you as ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptians yesterday?'" Ouch. You know, Moses had a vision. He was going to deliver his people. But when he went out to fulfill what he felt that God had called him to, even going as far as killing a man, he was rejected by his own people. I think many of us have been there at some point in our lives where we felt that kind of disappointment and confusion at some level, where we're trying to do what God has called us to do, when we're trying to be a good husband, when we're trying to be a good parent, and when we're trying to just be an overall good Christian and follow Christ and do what he's called us to do, and yet we seem to be failing and it hasn't been coming through how we want it. You know, when we're trying to step up to that plate, only to be slapped in the face, to fall down over and over again, seeing failure after failure, rejection after rejection. Here's the problem with Moses. He wasn't ready to do what he was called to do. Oh, in his head, he was ready. He had the education. He had the knowledge, right? He had all the desires and were in the right place. But the problem was his character wasn't built up to where God needed him to be to fulfill his calling. He needed a crash course. He needed a different way of looking at the world. So, of course, the people didn't just up and follow Moses. It wasn't time yet. On top of that, when Pharaoh found out that Moses killed the Egyptian, he wanted to have Moses killed. So Moses was fleeing. He had to make a run for it. Here was Moses who thought God was going to use him in a powerful way to save his people. Instead, he had to flee for his own life to a place that definitely was completely different than anything he had grown up in. He was no longer in a palace. He was no longer living a life that was abundance of power. Instead, he had to flee to the desert, and where he became a herder of the flock for his now father-in-law. You know, Moses surely was confused at that moment. He felt that he was in a position to lead, yet he fell flat on his face. He felt that God had given him that command, but yet he failed. Why does God give us any of these dreams and visions and desires to end up failing? It can become frustrating at those moments. God gave Moses those desires to rescue his people. I 100% believe that. And we know that. But the downfall came when he became overconfident and he went in front of God. He went before God said go. Because of this, he failed. His timing was off. His pride got him in trouble. We often do this in our own lives. We take off before God says go. And when we do that, we normally end up in a lot of pain and regret. When we move before God says move. I look back on my own life in ministry, and there's been many times I've had to wait on God's timing. There's been many times, especially early on in my time in ministry, that God had to put me in the desert. God had to remove me from the situation because I like to jump the gun too. And I found myself failing. You know, 2 years before I came out here, God had told me to start getting ready, that there was something change going to happen in ministry for me. God told me to get ready. He told me to prepare my heart for the next step and for a new role. I didn't know exactly what that would look like, but God put that desire in front of me. I had numerous other opportunities that had came up over those 2 years. And honestly, a lot of them sounded great. But it wasn't what God said. And God always said, not yet. I had a choice to make at those times. Do I wait or do I jump the gun? I mean, God told me to get ready, and that seems like the right fit. Or do I wait? If I would have jumped the gun before God said jump, where would I be? When we look over at Moses again, we have the ability to see the problem. We can read ahead, and we can see that Moses had a little too much Moses inside of him. He was a little too full of himself. I mean, he had good intentions. He wanted to help free his people. But his judgment and his character were not at the demands of a leadership yet. I mean, what leader really thinks the smart first move is to kill somebody? Not exactly the smartest move you can make. But he was acting on his own wisdom and his own strength. And what I find really interesting at this particular moment, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us before Moses went out to visit the Israelites that he sought God first. Nowhere does it tell us that he actually took time to pray and to ask God what the next step. Oh, he took it upon himself and just went out and did it. We can have the best intentions, but if we're not putting God first in those decisions, we're going to fall on our face. We're going to make missteps. God needed Moses to be ready to lean on him. He needed Moses to be prepared for that next step, but not just partially ready, fully ready. One author put it this way: God enrolled Moses in the Wilderness Branch of Character College for a postgraduate course in personal transformation in the fundamentally changed the way he thought. That was a 40-year course. That's a long time in the desert. You know, he does the same with us. So often we feel that we're called and we believe that God has called us to do something. The truth is, he most likely did call you to do something. Most likely God placed that desire inside your heart because he wants you to do something. Just like he did with Moses. But so often we act like Moses. We're interested in the success of that current situation that we decide to move on our own instead of sitting back and asking God, what is that first step? What is that second step? We try to do it on our own terms. You know, God wants us to be successful in our lives, but more importantly, he wants to help build up our character so that we can be faithful stewards for him. Often when we're new to our faith or still baby in the faith, we believe that Jesus pretty much does what we want him to do, that we still get to call the shots in life. We even get this mentality from time to time. I read it this week and I had to share it with you guys because it is seems at times. We get this idea that now that I've surrendered my life to God, just imagine how much more he can do with me on his side. We may not word it that way often, but that is often how we act. That is where we present it. And that's what Moses was acting like. You know, it took 40 years later when Moses was in the desert, and he became a much different man than the one who killed the Egyptian. Long gone was the one who was proud, overconfident man who thought he could single-handedly deliver the Israelites from Egypt. So when God approached Moses in the burning bush and asked him to go to Egypt to free the Israelites, we see in Exodus 3:11, he responded with, "But Moses asked God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?'" Can we say a complete difference? From the man who moved out on his own and decided to kill someone because he was called, because God had placed him, to who am I? He came up with all types of excuses on why he couldn't do it. He even went as far as to say, "Send someone else because I don't speak well." Yet God used him to free the Israelites. You know, so often God leads us out to the desert on our own. He does this because he needs us to be transformed. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have great plans for you. It doesn't mean that that desire that you have within you, that calling that he's placed on your life isn't real. God has placed that for a reason. It simply means that God needs to mold you into something that he can use. Someone who isn't trying to do everything on his or her own. We're not called to live this life on our own. We walk with Christ through each step. He gives us directions. He gives us the wisdom. I'm going to tell you, I can't do this on my own. I can't prepare these sermons every week on my own. I can't do any of this on my own. I think there's a reason God made me stand in regular ministry for as long, for over 10 years, and under all these other people to help shape me and transform me, to prepare me. And even now, I still feel often inadequate to come up here. But that's where God wants you, where you have to rely on him. You know, there's a video that I've seen where it showed that it was a painful process, but you look at the rock, like look at Michelangelo's different rock statues and stuff that he chiseled away. You know, think if that was you. God is sitting there chiseling you, reforming you, turning you into what he needs from you so he can use you in the right way. When you hit the desert, don't ask God to speed up the process. Sit back and ask God, what do you need to learn in this moment? We need to remember that Christianity is about surrender, not comfort. We're to align ourselves with God's standards, not the other way around. The way that God shapes us and gets us to surrender is sometimes putting us in the desert. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together and to study your word. Father, as we look at Moses and we look at his time in the desert, may we remember all of it. May we look at our own lives and see where you've placed us in the desert and the things that we need to learn at that time. Father, help us not to just lean on our own understanding, but look to you for guidance and wisdom. Give us strength and courage to admit where our downfalls are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Feel the warmth of your embrace.
May God bless you as you go out this week. May he make his face shine upon you. And I do encourage you all to see what is God asking of you and what is he trying to get you to learn to lean on him. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.